Love is a fever in my blood. Clarissa Cranbrae winced as those words trembled in the air. Truly, this had to be the worst of the poems Lord Prudhomme had recited since arriving at her father's townhouse an hour ago. Had it been only an hour? In truth, it felt more like several days had passed since the elderly man arrived. He'd entered brandishing a book, announcing with triumph that, rather than go for their usual walk, he thought perhaps today she'd enjoy his reading to her. And Clarissa would have, had he chosen to read something other than this poppycock. She also would have appreciated it more were he not acting as though he were doing her a favour. For all his words, Clarissa was not fooled. She knew the reason for the sudden change in plans. The man was hoping to avoid calamity by restricting her to sitting decorously on the settee while he read aloud from his book of poems. It would appear that even the aged and sympathetic Prudhomme was growing tired of her continued accidents. She couldn't really blame him. He'd been terribly forbearing up until now. Almost a saint, to be honest. Certainly he'd shown more understanding and fortitude than her other suitors. He'd appeared to accept and forgive all the times she'd mistaken his fat little legs for a table and set her tea on them, had given a pained smile through her tendency to dance on his feet, and had even put up with her stumbling and tripping as he led her on walks through the park. Or so it had seemed. But today he'd found a way to save himself from all that. Unfortunately, his choice of reading material left much to be desired. Clarissa would rather be making a fool of herself in the park and stumbling face first into the cake table than suffering this drivel.
"It gives me wings like those of a dove."
Lord Prudhomme's voice quavered with passion. Or possibly just old age. Clarissa wasn't sure which. Truly, the man was old enough to be her grandfather. Unfortunately, that didn't matter to her stepmother, Lydia. The woman had promised to John Cranbrae that she'd see his daughter well married if it killed them both. Lord Prudhomme was the last of the few suitors still bothering with her. At this point, it looked like they were safe from dying. However, Clarissa was in imminent danger of finding herself married to the elderly gentleman, kneeling on the floor before her and waving his arms wildly as he professed undying love.
"I shall vow my... Lady Clarissa," Lord Prudhomme interrupted himself. "Pray move the candle closer, if you please. I'm having trouble deciphering this word."
Clarissa blinked away her ennui and squinted toward her suitor. Prudhomme was a dark blob in her vision, with a round pink blur of a face topped by a silvery cloud of hair.
"The candle, girl," he said impatiently,
all signs of the charming suitor momentarily replaced with irritation. Clarissa squinted at the candle on the table beside her, picked it up, and leaned dutifully forward.
"Much better," Prudhomme said with satisfaction. "Now, where was I? Oh yes, I shall vow my undying..."
He paused again, and his nose twitched.
"Do you smell something burning?"
Clarissa sniffed delicately at the air. She opened her mouth to say yes, actually she did. But before the words left her mouth, Prudhomme released a shriek. Pulling back with surprise at the sound, she watched in amazement as the man suddenly leaped to his feet and began to hop madly about, his blurry arms flying and appearing to thrash at his head. Clarissa didn't understand what was happening until the white blur that was his wig was suddenly removed and beat furiously against his leg. She blinked at the pink blob that was his head, then at his actions, and realized she must have held the candle too close. She'd set his wig aflame. "Oh dear." Clarissa set the candle down, not releasing it until she knew it was safely on the table surface. Her vision blurred, and her sense of distance beggared. She nearly knocked the little man over as she leaped up to help him.
"Get away from me," Prudhomme yelled, shoving her backward.
Clarissa fell back in her chair and stared at him in blind amazement, then glanced sharply toward the door as a rustling announced the arrival of someone. Several someones, she amended, squinting at the array of colours and shapes standing just inside the door. It looked as if every servant in the house had heard Prudhomme's shrieks and come running. No doubt her stepmother was there as well, Clarissa thought, and heaved a small sigh at the subsequent shocked silence.
She couldn't see well enough to know if those by the door were staring at her with pity or accusation.